Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The Lord said, "Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk." Then one of the scholars of the law said in reply, "Teacher, by saying this, you're insulting us too." And he said, "Woe to you also, scholars of the law! You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them." The Gospel of the Lord. Today in the Gospel, as well as in the first reading, Jesus and Paul are addressing the same mentality. Jesus was addressing the mentality of the scribes and the Pharisees, who were concerned with the external works of the law, especially what the rabbis had said you needed to do so that you wouldn't come close to breaking any of the commandments. But they were missing the type of motivation that's supposed to influence all our works, as well as missing the major works of all. And in the letter to the Romans, St. Paul was writing to Christians who were still influenced by this Pharisaical, what the scripture scholars will call the Judaizing mentality. So they're both trying to help bring to a genuine conversion. And these words are still very relevant for us today. Jesus was describing how the Pharisees pay tithes, sacrificing 10% of lots of various things, but they're missing judgment and God's love. God's love first is mercy, but then second, the fact that we ourselves are going to be judged. And that's what we should focus on far more than on our playing God and judging others, which is what the Pharisees and the scribes were always doing. They were seemingly alive on the outside, but Jesus, with incisive language, says they were dead on the inside, unseen graves over which people were unknowingly walking. That they weren't really alive with the life that comes from God. And the scholars of the law were themselves burdening others with 613 commandments without really getting down with mercy and love and helping them to live according to the commandments. They were just stating it without the assistance. Jesus was calling them to conversion. Before most of them would convert, they would actually murder Jesus. They needed it, even though on the outside, they seemed to be tremendously religious. St. Paul said that by this point, 20 years later, the Judaizing Christians, still influenced by this Pharisaical mentality in Rome, were themselves under a similar danger. "You, O man, are without excuse if you pass judgment. For the standard by which you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you do the very same things." And he describes a little later the things that they were doing. On the surface, they wouldn't have been doing the same things. On the surface, the Judaizing Christians in Rome would have been religious, whereas the ones we heard about yesterday, those who weren't at all under Judaism or Christianity, were the ones who were violating the natural law and doing all types of unnatural behaviors. On the surface, They weren't doing anything close to the ones they were judging. But at the very end, St. Paul gives an important distinction. He says, there are those who seek glory, honor, and immortality through perseverance in good works. And then there are others who selfishly disobey the truth and obey wickedness. That was at the heart, not only of the selfishness driving those who violated the natural law to sin, but that selfishness is at the root of what St. Paul for Jesus was criticizing these Judaizing Christians in Rome about. That they were trying to self-justify. They were trying to prop themselves up by stepping on others through their criticism. And Paul was calling them to a massive conversion. And he does that in the same way Jesus did. Jesus told them to obey the weightier things of the law, God's judgment and his merciful love. So St. Paul describes what that looks like. Do you hold his priceless kindness, forbearance, and patience in low esteem, unaware that the kindness of God would lead you to repentance? That ultimately, as Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, we're supposed to become merciful like our Heavenly Father is merciful. And if he is kind, forbearing, and patient, so we ought to be with others. Those are the types of works that God wants to see. They're far more valuable than what we put in a collection basket. They're far more valuable than the types of things that we bring to church for a food drive. The Lord wants to transform us to share his merciful work and love of the world. And that's what this feast is about today that we celebrate with St. Margaret Mary. There was a very harsh and judgmental time in the 1600s in France. It was the beginnings of Jansenism, a cold, distant, harsh God who was just simply waiting for that nanosecond when we would think about committing a mortal sin, because then he would spring into action, take our life, and send us to hell, because that's really the type of God they thought. Not a father who runs out with mercy to embrace his prodigal sons and daughters at the first instant that they're trying to return home, but a brutal, evil judge who, as soon as we do the least infraction, that's when we're going to be dead and sent to hell forever. It took a lot. Many saints the Lord raised up to try to free the church from this moral cancer. The devil, if he can't get us to sin in terms of our actions, is going to get us to try to turn away from God any way that he can. And the devil would be plenty fine is to get us to be motivated precisely by our fear of hell and our fear of sin, rather than our love of God and love of others. And there were many Catholics in the 1600s, as well as many Catholics still today, who are motivated more by their running away from evil than their running toward God and good. So Jesus came down to St. Margaret Mary to reveal the power of his loving heart. He said, behold the heart that has so much loved men, that has exhausted itself for their salvation. Jesus wants our hearts to become like his. And then he revealed the principal means to St. Margaret Mary. It's the Eucharist. He gave us himself in the Eucharist every day as what he called the sacrament of his love. But this sacrament is supposed to have a totally transformative role in our life. As we come up to receive the Lord, we're entering into communion with him, which means to enter into communion with what he wants, to enter in communion with his heart, to enter in communion with his mercy, to enter in communion with his love. If we come up and we receive Jesus and go out and judge everybody, we're not receiving him worthily. If we go out, we receive him and we go out, we're not forbearing, we're not kind, we're not patient, we're not willing to go that extra mile, we're not receiving him worthily. Jesus wanted us to restore a true place for the Eucharist in our life. He wanted Eucharistic processions. He wanted and asked St. Margaret Mary Alacoque for prayer, specifically united with him in his hours in the agony of the garden on Thursday night. And he specifically wanted frequent communion, especially on First Fridays, so that we would be able to learn directly from him the type of meekness and humility of heart that we need in order to be his walking examples. Very early this morning, I was participating in an email exchange with some other Catholic writers about certain things with Pope Francis. One of the things that we were talking about this morning is how Pope Francis doesn't teach very well by his words, that he's not as clear as other popes have been, but at the same time, he shows us the gospel. He shows us the new evangelization. He shows us the mercy of the Lord, the way that he runs out to everybody. That's the type of transformation that the Lord wants to work in us. He did work it in the life and the heart of St. Margaret Mary, and he wants to work that same moral miracle in us. But we have to open ourselves up to the total transformation that he gives us each morning when we come up and we say, Amen. That word means, I am going to make this reality the foundation of my life. The word in Hebrew is to uphold, amin, to uphold. That this reality totally upholds me. What was the real problem with the Pharisees? They were partially observant of the Lord. Part of them gave 100%, but many other aspects of their life they thought totally exempt from the way that the Lord wanted to transform them. And we can sometimes be susceptible to that same diabolical trick. Today, as we come forward, we throw ourselves before the Lord, begging for his mercy, that in this sacrament of love, he might in turn make us his visible sign of an interior love, his own, that he sends us as missionaries to take out to a world that needs it. The Lord repays everyone according to his works. May we receive all the help we need to do the works of God today. Praise be Jesus Christ.